Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Descarty. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, once again, I'm not Tom. This is Rocky. Tom won't be on tonight. He has been out celebrating his, what is it, sweet, the 35th anniversary? 35th anniversary. Unfortunately, his little darling is feeling kind of sick and all that, so he's taking care of her tonight, and he won't be joining us, but I'm sure he'll be back next Wednesday, and y'all better be ready for it. We don't have Tom, but what we do have is one of the all-time greats. Joining us, we have Chico Martinez. How are you doing, Chico?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to hear you. I'm glad to hear that people are still on the radio. But, Tom, Tom came by today and told me that you were having the meeting, to me to call, and I, of course, I called. But I wish I was there with you, but that's one of the things I can't do.
Well, you know, it's it happens to all of us. I haven't been able to get out amongst them in over a year now. That's okay. There's always tomorrow. You never can tell.
Whenever,
we might be out there.
Yeah. Well, whenever when we get around anybody and I start talking about Bigfoot, you know, people say, is there really a Bigfoot? And that gets me going, you know, and I start talking about him because I've seen him. We were
That's
sitting
right.
there together. Tom and I were sitting there together, and I looked at, had my binoculars out looking around. And what we were really doing is to seeing if there was any Bigfoot around there, because there, in that area that we were in, and I really can't tell you where it is, because we don't want the people there getting mad at us if they hear about we've been hanging around their property. But there's been a lot of things that we've heard about it, so we decided that we would be there to find out. So we were there and we found out.
There you
and,
go.
I looked down the fence where he was walking, and he was walking on a 7 foot tall along the 7 foot tall fence. Now, I'm not talking about Tom. I'm talking about the Bigfoot. And he was hand over hand, hanging on the fence, walking sideways all the way. He must have walked about a mile and a half up looking over.
Wow.
And all that time, he never turned around and looked until he got to right in front of us. And the Bigfoot turned around and looked around and saw us, and he turned around like as if he didn't care who was there. And that's when I told Tom, you know, I said, Tom, I think that Bigfoot is used to people already. And that's why he didn't bother him. But I really believe that Bigfoot got out of the fence because they opened it up, the gate for him, to let him go out. And they generally come back in, but this Bigfoot didn't know where the gate was that he went in, and that's what he was looking for. And I think there was a reason behind that. I can't really say, because I wasn't over there where he got out. But
well,
he turned around and
I want to bring walked back. I want to bring
up
something here. Once upon a time, Chico, we were on a piece of land that we had permission to search on, but didn't everybody get the message? And there was a deer hunter came out there and decided that he was going to hunt. Well, he was fixing to get up in Chico's deer stand. He was climbing up in it. What happened there, Chico?
What happened? I stayed there.
I know.
I was up in the tree, and I stayed there. I stayed up in that tree, but I had my gun with me, and I didn't want to kill him, and I didn't want to get blamed for killing him, you know. But
okay, what did you tell that guy? I'll tell him what you told him. As he was trying to climb up in that tree, you stuck your gun barrel in his butt and said, you better get down out of that tree or the bullet's going to hit where the good Lord split. So.
Well, I didn't want to say that, you know, because I really didn't mean it. But I had to say something to him.
It worked, though.
But some of the words that I used weren't nice.
I know that. But I was playing it off nice.
Yeah, I understand that. And people don't want to hear anybody talking to a wild animal like that anyway. And but I tell you, that's not the only time that I've seen them. Not that same one, but I've seen other ones that almost walked over me.
I know.
And when I said something, he turned around and ran away.
Another little story that I need to throw in there. It was Tom, Chico, me, and Chuck Creel. There were six or seven of us. Anyhow, we were, me and Chico was out ahead of everybody. Well, we was out ahead of everybody because I was working hard trying to keep up with Chico, and everybody else was way back yonder somewhere. And we got way ahead of them. Chico finally turned around and said, "We better sit and wait for them to get." To catch up with us. Well, finally, here come Tom and the boys, and Tom hollered over there and said, Chico, do you know what today is? And the reply was, yeah, it's my birthday. And I said, how old are you today, Chico? And you said, 84 years old. And you was walking everybody you was wearing us out. But
but you know, the 17th is my birthday.
Do what?
The 17th of February is my birthday.
And
I'll be
92.
Well,
92.
92?
Chico. My name is Chris. I've heard all about you, and I wanted to just say hello. I'm originally from the Bay Area. Didn't you used to live out there in San Jose area?
No, I lived in Redwood City and in San Carlos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering,
this is the guy that he was the front runner for the Navy SEALs.
Yeah, I
remember. I've seen your picture. Thank you for your service, brother.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Were you in the service, too?
My sister, she's in the Air Force. I worked in the Forest Service, so I just was more of a, state worker. Working in the forest, I was in the CCC, the California Conservation Corps, which used to be known as the Civilian Conservation Corps. And I went from there to the Forest Service here in California. But I do have a lot of friends, in the military. My neighbor across the street, his nephew, his name was Kevin Houston, and he died in 2011 in that attack on that Chinook helicopter that killed 22 of our special forces out in Afghanistan. He was one of the guys that was in Bin Laden's compound when the whole thing went down. Yeah, his name was Kevin Houston, Special Warfare Officer, SEAL Team 6. And, yeah, rest in peace to that good man. I mean, you guys are like real live superheroes, you know, like right out of a comic book.
I tell you,
Chico's not like one. He is one.
Well, I'm an honorary member of SEAL Team 1 Delta Platoon out of San Diego.
That's right.
And original Frost.
To Korea and Vietnam.
Wow.
But there
I'm
I got to shoot anybody I wanted to as long as they were shooting at me. And if they weren't shooting at me, they're crazy.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a former Marine, and you know, I got my butt kicked on that walk trying to keep up with SEAL Team One. He covered more ground than you can even imagine, and then I find out that he's that much older than me. I kind of kept my age to myself after that. you was going to say something that happened. Where were we in Rockwall Suite?
Yeah, Rockwall, Texas. Chico, you remember in Rockwall, Texas, when we were out there in Rockwall, Texas, and we were down there on the river down there, and all the law came and ran us off. But you remember they made us leave that field down there. We were down there on the river where all them hogs were, and Chico goes, we were all out there in the woods, and Chico says, I think I'm bleeding a little bit. A little bit. And Chico comes up there, and he's got this... But he said, the hogs run by me there, and I don't even know what happened. But anyway, he had a big cut on his arm. You remember that, Chico?
Chico says,
I said, Chico, I think I'm going to have to sew that up. And he says, well, go ahead. And so I got a needle and some thread, and I sewed it up, and he never flinched. He's just laughing like he is right now until I closed it up. I don't even know how many stitches was in there, and we soaked it down with betadine and sewed it up. And he said, what makes me mad? I had to come out of the woods. I was just getting comfortable or something to that effect. We had a good time. Chico's got no fear for pain, that's for sure.
As long as it don't hit me in the chest or something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
Chico, do you remember that's when you had your 357 Magnum tied around your neck with a piece of string to the trigger guard? He had tied on the trigger guard with a lanyard with a piece of string. We didn't even know he had it. Just all of a sudden he says, oh, check it out. I'm missing Wesson.
He was saying earlier that he didn't want to use those words, that kind of language. You remember when the cops came out there and run us off, some of the language he used when he was talking to the cops?
Oh yeah, Chico was not shy for words. He calmed down so we didn't get locked up. But he kind of told him how the cow ate the cabbage.
At the very least,
he kind of told him.
I think it was in Mississippi where we were one time, but I went to the police department to check out where it was, because one cop saw us out there and wanted to know what the hell we were doing there. I says, what the hell do you think we're doing here? And he says, well, what are you doing? Why you got those rifles? People like you off of ourselves. And he says, well, what do you mean? I says, well, if you don't know, you'll find out. He got pissed. But then, laughed about it.
Yeah. Chico, I sure am glad that you're going to have your 92nd birthday, and I'm so happy for you. I hope that you have a super, super fun 92nd birthday and eat lots of cake. I know you like cake.
Yeah, so, I like cherry pie.
There you go.
Yeah. And you know that's what Tom bought me today, a cherry pie.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I'm so happy for you, Chico. I'm glad you're doing well.
I'm doing fine now. I spent a lot of time in the hospital.
We spent so much time out there in the woods together. Chico is never at a loss for words. And he's definitely somebody that you want. Actually, you want to back him up. You can count on him being the first one in. And we've been quite a few places. We was filming a movie, and I can't even remember the name of it right now. One of the camera guy, he got a little bit snotty with Chico, and Chico kind of come unglued on him and told him, like the man said, how the cow ate the cabbage. And so that guy decided he was done. He was not going to be in that movie anymore. And he said that if Chico laid a hand on him, that he was going to sue everybody. But we kind of had a feeling if Chico laid hands on him, he wouldn't be able to sue anybody.
You know what? You
well, that's the way I was brought up.
You know what used to really tickle me, Chico, is I can remember the first time whenever I met you and we were going on the expedition, and I thought to myself that you and Tom must have been married the way you all argued.
Oh.
You and Tom were getting going at the hotel. Rockwall. Yeah, that was in Rockwall. At the hotel there, and I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was something about the food or whatever it was. Tom was getting on you, and you just kind of just sat there and listened to it for a little while. Tom kept on, and then you'd start in on him for a little while, and y'all went back and forth for a little while. And I thought, well, they're going to fight here in a minute. Surely there's going to be a fight. And then they just quit and go together and go over there and get some food. It was like nothing ever happened. It was freaking me out. I was thinking, man, they either love each other or hate each other or a little of both. I'm not sure. But it was funny to see them go at it.
When they got in the argument about the glasses, Tom was trying to read something. He said, let me see your glasses. So Chico handed him his glasses, and Tom was trying to figure it out. He said, well, what is this, Chico? And he said, I can't see. He said, well, where's your glasses? He said, you've got them on. He said, well, here. He said, anyhow, that went on for a good 15 minutes and almost wore those glasses out before they finally got back to Chico.
Well, that was funny. I remember that was at Rockwall, Texas, when we were at the cafe at the diner part of it there. They were at the tables doing that.
Saw me shoot my 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum with hand loads in it. And for the people who don't know, I can't even hardly... I mean, it makes a 44 Magnum look like something that you'd give a kid to play with. Well, I stood out there in Chuck Creel's house. I was standing out there blowing stuff up with that 500. Chico walked over there and said, "Can I shoot that?" Told him, "Go right ahead." Well, he grabbed hold of it, and he torched it off, and it flew back. It hit him right between the eyes, knocked his glasses off. His hat went about 30 feet in the air. And then after we got his glasses found and got his hat back, he said, "Can I shoot it again?" Well, you know, have at it. He fired it off again. It came back, and it hit him in the face again and broke his glasses in two. And his hat went 30 feet in the air. And he said, yeah, I need one of those. And then he started, I told him I couldn't sell that one, but. Yeah, I mean, it didn't matter that it was beating his head off. I told him he needed to get him a crash helmet to go with it.
Yeah.
So funny.
Anytime you go with Chico, you're gonna have a good time, or there's something bad the matter with you.
Yeah, but I'm always looking for the footprints from the Bigfoot.
Yep,
and you'd be
find
surprised
them too,
how
Chico.
Many times I found. Yeah, be surprised how many I found.
Yeah, you'd find them. You had the eye for it.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice them just ending abruptly? And like, you know, you follow the tracks and then they just end in the middle of nowhere and then go backwards and they seem to just start out of nowhere. You ever notice some of that?
Yeah, different kinds. They surprise the hell out of you. You don't know what you'll find, and especially when you come across one and he doesn't even know you're there. And then sometimes when they're sort of up a hill and down another little hill or something like that, or climbing a tree or something, they don't understand what you're doing if you're trying to climb the tree after them. But anyway, hell, I could sit here all night long and talk about them things, and you guys know it. There's been many times that we had to the counties and the people want you to come and tell them what's down that hole and all that. And they didn't. Nobody wanted to go down there and look at it to find out what it was and who it was and why it was. And I always volunteered to go down there because I'd done a lot of that stuff.
Yes, he did. He went down. Anything like that, up a bluff, down a hole, it made him no difference.
Yeah.
Just get out of the way because he's on his way. You know, me and the Swede was talking today, Chico. We were trying to, we figured it up how long our combined, how long we had been hunting.
Yeah.
You know, our times combined between the two of us, me and the Swede, have 116 years of hunting.
Hundred and sixteen years.
And that's with the real gun.
Yeah, that's not
the BB gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we,
you know, all that in all that time, I saw in all that time, in 52 years, I saw one creature crossing the creek with Jimmy Johnson, and I saw the one that come into our camp. I saw its silhouette and its size and its shadow in the darkness. I couldn't It wasn't lit up. It was in the middle of the night. And then I never saw any before that. I never saw any after that.
I've seen a total of one, and that's all. But I've seen held a lot of time. So I've signed when I was running the Chico.
Well, the ones that I've seen a lot more of is around the Indian reservations.
Right.
It used to be before when the old days that the Bigfoot used to leave his youngsters there at the Indian reservation, and they would go out and leave the youngsters there, and the Indians would take care of them. And when them youngsters grew up, they would come back and scare the hell out of everybody because they grow too fast and so big. That Indian reservation in Mississippi, they can tell you a lot of stories about them.
They're
and right
there
in
Mississippi.
They didn't talk about it a whole lot.
Mississippi?
I didn't hear you. What was that?
I said, are you talking about there in Philadelphia, Mississippi?
No. I don't know if that...
Over on the rails?
I don't know what the name of that place was.
Okay.
Rocky, we probably need to take a little commercial break.
Commercial
and then
break.
When we come from the break, we need to... maybe we'll skip and talk to the people from Mississippi as we're
they
talking about that.
Yeah.
Have they not?
No,
we'll
sure
take
they
a let's take a little break on the get some as Tom says, pay some bills, and then after the break we'll go back at it. So
well,
hang
I'll
in
tell
there.
You what, I don't want to get you guys mad or anything, but I got to be hanging up here pretty quick. It's
okay,
already past 7.
You're not
going to
make any buzz
out of my
head. That's fine, Chico. We're so glad to have you on the show and get to hear your voice. And happy birthday again from all of the Bigfoot crew. And maybe we'll get together here sometime soon. And I'm looking forward to it very much.
Oh, well, tell everybody there said hello. And tell everybody that if I missed them on the phone, sorry about that. But
we'll do it, Chico, for sure.
I want you to know that I'm just damn proud to know you.
Well, same here. I never had such good friends up in them woods or anywhere else. And I played a lot of football and baseball and basketball and all that kind of games. But I've never found a bunch of guys that I really like to be with.
Well, we love you.
Well, I love you too. So, tell everybody I said that, will you please?
We will.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for coming on, Chico.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you. Have a good evening.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And same to you.
Good night.
And so we're off to a commercial.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that
I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back. Folks, we want you to know that we just had on a true man's man. Chico is probably one of the greatest people that you'll ever meet. And I'm truly proud to call him my friend.
I second that. That's awesome.
While I'm at it, when everybody, all the listeners, need to check out www.searchingforbigfoot.com and look at the merchandise. We got some of the coolest shirts. We've got caps. We got movies. I got a killer belt buckle, but y'all can't have one because I got the last one. But need to check out the merchandise. Okay. Back to the show. Well, Chris.
Well, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, nobody. Everything's going okay over here. It's really cold. We got a little bit of snow yesterday, but it didn't hold. It just melted. And this is just a crazy, crazy place where I live. It's, I honestly, when I moved up here, it was not to do Bigfoot research. It was just to come and heal because we had hot springs here and they were free. And since I got here, you know, I honestly, for the life of me, thought that Bigfoot, in the very beginning, I thought it was only a phenomenon that really kind of took place in Northern California, Pacific Northwest. And I really wouldn't even hear any other part of it because I was so puzzled from what happened to me that I really just was, in the beginning, just listening and researching directly in the area where I had my encounter. And, you know, then I started hearing more and more stuff. And then I just realized that this is worldwide. It doesn't just happen here in California. It doesn't happen in the Pacific Northwest. It happens all throughout the United States, wherever there's substantial rainfall. And it happens worldwide in certain areas. They got one down there in Australia called the Yowie. They got one, supposedly in New Zealand. They got them out there in the Urals and in Russia. They got them out in Nepal. And there's some in Kazakhstan. I mean, they're everywhere. There's these things. And the thing that really is, you know, kind of disturbing is the way the natives referred to them. You know, they had a lot of different translations, like river devil, creek devil, mountain devil. And where I had my first encounter up in Shasta County, I started studying maps, topographical maps, and I started looking at the place names and such. And where I had my first encounter, there is three Devil's Canyons, two Devil's Mountains within the 7 mile radius where I had my encounter. So, I mean, there was a lot of, and a Devil's Creek, there was a lot of just devils. And so I started thinking, where in the heck, and what did I just get into? And, you know, so when I like to do a lot of research, and I like to look at old newspapers, you know, because I like to connect the old with the new. And, you know, I like to look at the Indian legends and see if there's a correlation with what our deer hunters, you know, experience, you know, like I was listening to a podcast last night, and there was basically there was a family of Sasquatch that were thanking this woman for through Mindspeak because her and her father used to leave. They had probably like over 1,000 acres, and they used to leave food out when it was really cold, real bad winters. They would leave food out for the animals, you know, so they can make it through the winter. And these things had come back, you know, I guess the girl had taken her father, or the father took the girl out camping on the property one time. And, you know, she said she heard these heavy bipedal footfalls. And her dad said, "Do you know what makes that noise?" And she was like, puzzled, "No." And she said, that's the Sasquatch. That's what I call them. People call them Bigfoot, but I call them Sasquatch. And she went out there on the property after her parent, you know, her father had passed. And this thing had come up to her and had a mind speak, you know, like a telepathy, and told her, you know, you're a good person. We remember what you did. And we would have starved a couple of times had it not you and your father put that food out for us. And she said that the thing also said, but we're also very much afraid of humans because of their destructive nature. And so, you know, it was saying that you also have to, but they know that there are some good-hearted people within our, you know, within our species. And but there are also the bad ones, and it said, you know, we're good ones of our species, but he said we also have bad ones in our species. And it told her, you know, if you ever see the ones with glowing red eyes, don't go near them, stay away from them, don't try to even engage with them, because they hate our species, and they have this kind of a hatred for us. And
you
so
know,
I was
the,
really
the intro to the show, when Tom is talking about seeing the Gimlin tape on Johnny Carson, saw that too that night. I didn't think anything of it. But one day I was at work, and a kid that I worked with came in with a copy of the, what was the name of it, Swede? The Texarkana Gazette.
Yeah, Texarkana Gazette.
Texarkana Gazette, and it had the write-up about the creature from Boggy Creek. Next weekend I was there. Didn't see anything other than I slept under the bridge on Boggy Creek. The only thing that I saw was two guys with a shotgun, and they was looking at me kind of weird because I was sleeping under the bridge. And I did some quick talking, so they didn't shoot me. Oddly enough, after I went to Boggy Creek to Falk, several years later, the Swede saw the movie The Legend of Boggy Creek. And what
were
did
those
you do,
two hunters?
Do what?
Go ahead, Chris, with your question.
Were those two hunters looking for it, too? I mean, when you ran into them under the bridge, is that what they were doing?
There was a whole bunch of
people. I was asleep under the bridge, and they were. There was 100 people out there hunting
for it. So that solidifies my thinking of, you know, it just adds more to the puzzle of why the government has made a cover-up of it. Because, you know, there's a lot of reasons. A lot of people said that there was reasons with timber and mining. You didn't want a bunch of hippies blocking off the forest because of our, you know, ruining some part of our economy. There was also part of that public safety thing. There's, you know, on the economy where I live, they don't want people scared to come up here and spend money in the summer because that's these little small town businesses, bread and butter. But the public safety factor, it makes a lot of sense because a lot of those little tiny towns only had one or two magistrate, you know, to run, you know, to keep the peace. And if you had a whole bunch of people, like 100 people out there, mob mentality, running around with moonshine mentality, you know, with shotguns, high caliber weapons, and vicious dogs, you know, the local magistrate, if there was any at all. Yeah, so they got to be worried that somebody doesn't shoot their friend or shoot themselves in the toe, you know, they're taking pot shots at every shadow in the woods. It all makes sense.
It wasn't like that there in Falk. Saw a lot of people out there. They were looking around. You'd probably be more apt to get a splinter in your butt at the Spit and Whittle store. But Swede, like I say, after I had made the trip down there years later, the Swede, after he saw the movie, he made the trip. He got to check out Falk, Arkansas, and he didn't see the. Go ahead.
I went there in 1977 when I turned 16 years old and got my driver's license. I had seen the movie that year, and I went to Falk, Arkansas, as soon as I could drive. Legally, I'd been driving, but that's a long ways from here to drive down old 71 all the way to Falk, Arkansas. So I had to be legal, and I had in a 62 Chevy Impala, and I went down there. And right there past the bridge where Rocky said, you know, at the Boggy Creek Bridge, there's a farmhouse there. And I stopped at that farmhouse and talked to that old man there, and he let me park my car and sleep in my car beside his parking garage. He would not let me sleep in the barn or the thing. He said, you can sleep in your car beside my garage. And so I did. And I went to the Spit and Whittle up there. You know, there was none of the Bigfoot grocery store, none of that. It was still pretty like it was. And there was a big feed mill there. Beside the feed mill there and the community store, they had a big bench there, and it was the Spit and Whittle thing there, and all the timers would come, and I figured it out. Rocky had done that before I did, but I went there too and did the same thing and sat there and talked to them old timers, and you'd bring up the Falk Monster thing, and a lot of the people wanted to talk about it, and a lot of people didn't want to talk about it. And it was about a 50-50 split. But the people that didn't want to talk about it, the reason they didn't want to talk about it is because they didn't want a huge influx of people that came down there like it did when Rocky was there earlier. And the ones that did want to talk about it wanted to tell you about what they saw. They were wanting to share their experiences or what they'd seen or what happened on down the line. And it was very interesting, the dynamics that went on in that Spit and Whittle on that bench.
And yeah.
You betcha. It's a hoax. And then the other side said, well, my Aunt Mildred saw it out there. And, yeah, I mean, it was just, It was crazy there at the store. You could get a heated discussion going just real quick, real easy. And
I remember watching the movie, and I started doing a little bit of looking into it, and the thing that puzzled the heck out of me was when they went out in the swamp out there and they found the tracks that, like, almost that reminded me of ostrich tracks, but like three-toed tracks. And
three-toed.
I thought, what the what
everybody
in the heck?
There.
I
everybody,
said, what the heck?
Yes, and that was what was weird, because everybody there insisted, even the ones that were like, you know, everybody that had any kind of anything, that saw anything, that was the binding thing, that it had three toes. The tracks, everyone said, no one said, oh, well, it had five toes. Nobody ever said that. Everybody said it had three toes. Well, we seen the tracks going down through the mud down there through the hog pen. On the side of the hog pen, it was three-toed. We saw the tracks crossing the creek down there at the fence. It had three toes. Everybody echoed that same thing about the three-toe thing. And I remember it vividly, and I kept thinking, what kind of a Bigfoot's got three toes? And it was like that from the movie, that ingrained, that ostrich-like looking footprint that they expressed on the TV, you know, on the movie. And it was just really weird. But you know, it was what it is and what it was. And those people, I know that those people saw that. I mean, they did.
It was Mr. Crabtree that owned that store, wasn't it?
Yeah, Crabtree, one of the participants from what the movie was based on, he owned the store, their family did, in the mill.
Yeah,
the grain mill.
His boy was supposed to have seen it. I think his boy might have fired on it.
There was some tales of firing on it more than Ford shooting. There was tales of lots of the locals shot at it. And
I
don't know if they were just bad shots or
I think the Crabtree boy was out bird hunting or something.
Yeah, shotgun. He used a shotgun on it, is what I recall. But with the shotgun, gave him a load. But there was like animals getting carried off, or, you know, the pigs over the fence thing, stepping over the fence kind of deal, with carrying a hog on each arm. I heard all of that kind of stuff. Walking down through there and taking the end of the chicken house out, pulling the end of the chicken house off and taking, you know, grabbing a bunch of chickens and turning them all loose and taking off down through there, and the footprints leaving the scene the next morning. Just a lot of that stuff that stuck with me from that, and from that deal. But there was a lot of people that did not want to talk about it. No, I don't want to talk about that.
We got more in this world than we'll ever comprehend. And if we can't, if we'll never get to know the half of it if we keep going with this idiot that's running the show in our country. But, you know, when I was living up there on the Yurok Reservation, I remember I was when I used to smoke tobacco, my friend was native from that area on the Klamath River, and he was my friend. We used to call him Uncle Jesse because he looked like the guy from the Dukes of Hazzard, but his name was Mike. Anyways, Mike was driving me and my friend Pim out to the mouth of the river because the salmon were running real hard. And I remember I wasn't paying attention. I missed it. I was looking down in my lap because I was hand rolling some tobacco for a cigarette. And I lunged forward because my friend Mike, Uncle Jesse, hit the brakes on the station wagon he was driving. And my friend Pim, and they both said, whoa, whoa, did you see that? And I looked up and I didn't see nothing. I said, what? They said, that thing that crossed the road. And I said, what'd you see? And they said that they saw, I mean, this is what their words was. It looked like a man, but like a naked man. But his head was like that of a deer, you know, with horns, and had red eyes, and his and the legs were like a stronger, you know, like deer leg. I mean, it like he was running on hoofs. And I went, oh man, you know, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to sleep well tonight, you know, because we're going to go sleep out there at the mouth and then fish in the morning. And when they said that they saw that, I went, man, I don't know, man. This is a lot of weird stuff going on out here. But then when
is that the Wendigo thing?
Yeah, I would imagine that's what it was, all a Wendigo.
Wow, that's crazy, Chris. I can imagine, you know, I've heard the tales, dude, but I've never, that's kind of a freaky experience. I'd be freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, both of my buddies seen it. They're stone cold sober, and I'm just like, whoa, what are we, you know, where did I just move to, you know, because I was stationed in the CCCs up there on my base, and I made friends with the locals, and that's what happened one night. And then since I moved out here, the Southern Sierras, there was a guy in Tehachapi just south of me, and I tried to make friends with him on Facebook just to hear a little bit more about what he captured on his game camera. And literally, like he said, he'd been having trouble with stuff going missing, like some, you know, his animals, some of his animals were taken, some chickens, a pig, and that there was like these, some of the feed that he used to feed the animals was missing, like scattered around, like it made a mess of it. And so he was, he's a rancher. He had, you know, several hundred acres, but it was just in his direct pen that was right there next to the barn that this stuff was happening. So he put a couple of security cameras on that area. And the day after he put the security cameras, the thing that he saw, and I saw it too, blew me away. This damn thing that went past the security camera went so damn fast that it was like almost a blink of an eye. But when they slowed down the film, this thing looked like the devil. I mean, it had a heavy eye, like a heavy brow ridge, had little horns coming out of its head, but it was running on 2 feet, you know, but it looked like what you would imagine, like a satyr, you know, like Pan, you know, like the, like a half goat, half man, you know, like a goat man,
right,
you know. But I hear this stuff like out there in West Virginia, how they have the Mothman. And so now, I mean, I really knew what I had with the Bigfoot thing, and I was only kind of just doing that. But then people started talking about the dog man, the werewolf stuff, and I was thinking, well, what are they on? What are they smoking? And then I started hearing about some real credible people talking about it. So I just went, well, I guess I don't know a whole lot about nothing.
Okay, man, the clock says it's time to go. Everybody, thanks for calling in and listening. Thank you so much, Chico. And remember to go to www.searchingforbigfoot.com. Look at the merchandise. Check out the movies, hats, shirts, all of the above. Thanks for calling in.
Happy anniversary to you, Tom.
Absolutely, Tom. Happy anniversary. And Joan, get well soon. We'll say a little prayer for you. Good night, everybody, and thank you very much.
Always, my brothers. You guys have a great night.
You too. Thank you so much, Chris. We'll see you again.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good one, guys. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most...
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact.